Gewaldig, gewaldig. Rabbi Shai Freilchen, Tainus Esther. Purim is upon us. Be a good opportunity to explore some of the ideas, some of the Ashkafa, some of the Halacha Lamasa. The Halacha Lamasa of Purim. We know there are four main mitzvahs of Purim. Mishloach Manos, Matan Slavyonim, Sudas Purim, and Mikra Megillah. It's important to stress that you are obligated by all four, by which I mean, obviously, you're going to make sure to hear Mikra Megillah. We get some of the details of that in a couple of minutes. Obviously, you're going to be sure to fulfill Sudas Purim. We'll get to that even sooner. But it's important to stress that even before you are financially independent, even before you're living on your own, you are chayiv in Mishloach Manos Matanos Tavyonim. It seems self-evident. I think it's important to point this out, that you're all over Bar Mitzvah. You should all make sure to give Mishloach Manos, all make sure to give Matanos Tavyonim. So let's talk a little bit about what that entails. We all know that Mishloach Manos is picking at least one other Yehudi and giving him two Manos. We began to discuss last week at some greater length. Now let's focus halacha l'masa. We began to discuss last week at some greater length about the very, very often discussed machlokas that the Chasam Sofer discerned between the Rambam and the Trumas Hadesh on the one hand, and the Manos HaLevi, Yishlomo HaKavitz, and his Perush HaMegillas Esther, on the other hand, in terms of the nature of Mishloach Manos. Whether, as we had a chance to look inside last week, whether Mishloach Manos, as Rambam seems to lay out, is a mitzvah. Trumas Hadesh says that the Mishloach Manos is the idea is to provide for the Seuda. We saw last week, we looked inside the Rambam, that it seems like it's not even an independent mitzvah. It's almost like an additional element, an additional dimension of the multi-dimensional mitzvah of Seuda. Seuda is to have a lot of basar, a lot of yayin, a lot of food, and even to expand it into other tables as well. Not only is a Seuda taking place on my table, but I'm providing something for your Seuda's Purim. I'm providing something for his Seuda's Purim. My pickles are being eaten on your table with your guests. And my sauerkraut is being eaten on his table with his guests. Whereas the Manos HaLevi, Chasam Sofer understood that Manos HaLevi is disagreeing, and he understood that it's not so much a mitzvah to provide for Suda, but it's a mitzvah rather to express reyus. It's a mitzvah, a friendly gesture. And as Chasam Sofer and later Charon point out, a lot of nafkaminas, many of which have to do with, in general terms, whether the definition of the mitzvah revolves around the giver or around the receiver. If it's about the friendly gesture, then it could be it's really I have to make a friendly gesture that begins to explain, for instance, why it is that the Ramah says that if I gave Mishloach Manos but you didn't accept it, I was yotze. Another version of that, you know, to be snubbed in that way is a painful moment. You give Mishloach Manos and say, no, it's okay. I don't need anything more to re-gift. That's obviously not particularly pleasant. Let's talk about a different, more practical example. Let's say you're going around delivering Mishloach Manos and someone is not home. They are also out delivering Mishloach Manos. Or maybe they're eating Seuda elsewhere and they've already left for Seuda. So if they're in the first version, the first scenario, they'll be back in an hour. Tapi Pashas, you're definitely yotze if you leave at the door. If they're gone already for the day, they left for Seuda. They're having Seuda at 3 p.m. It's 2:30, you show up at their house, they're already gone. They're only coming back after Purim is over, Leil Shushan Purim. So they are going to Ramah, look, perhaps I made my friendly gesture on Purim, even if they're not going to see it. Perhaps I'm Yotze. If it's about providing for them, the Trumas Hadesh and the Rambam, and it's much more recipient-oriented, and they're not going to receive it until Purim is over. I am not Yotze. The discussion about a Ben Yudalid sending it to Ben Tezvav or vice versa. But the most halacha l'masa, there are other nafkaminas as well. I think I may have mentioned last week, Rabbi Feldman suggested many years ago that the Manos HaLevi could explain the rationale for the Chumrah of the Binyan Siyam, Yaakov Etlinger, the Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch wrote a sefer on several mesechtos called Aruch HaNeri, wrote Shuvah, it's called Binyan Tzion. And he has an idea of Churban Binyan Tzion, which became famous because the Mishnah Berurah chose to quote it in this siman, Siman Taf Reish Tzadi Hei, is a siman of Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos. By the way, that placement itself reflects the Rambam's approach that Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos are fused. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maran Binyan Tzion, Dafka Chumra, that it should be Adei Shaliach, Mishloach Manos. And I think we mentioned very briefly last week, it's a difficult idea to say that I Dafka have to give it Adei Shaliach, and I cannot give it myself. If I want to give Dov Mishloach Manos, Binyan Tzion would say I Dafka should not hand it directly to Dov, instead I should give it to Aaron, ask Aaron to hand it to Dov. That flies in the face of the usual rules of Shlichus. Usually, shlucho shel adam kamoso, as the Mishnah tells us, the shliach is like, in certain areas of halacha, the shliach can be authorized to act in my stead, to be as powerful as I am. But as the Gemara says, milsa de'il l'matzi avin, shliach l'matzi mashma, something that I myself cannot do, I cannot empower you to do. And if I can't sell the Brooklyn Bridge, I cannot make you an agent to sell the Brooklyn Bridge either. I don't have that koach to hand over. Shlichus is agency. I'm giving you the authority to act in ways that I myself could. So what does it mean that I cannot give the Mishloach Manos, but I can give out the Shliach? That I milstal yom motzi av shlichu motzi mashmi. So Rabbi Feldman suggested that it's probably not a formal Shlichus. I believe other Achronim say as well. Not a formal Shlichus. But perhaps it's the fact that I'm giving it, it's my mitzvah. I'm seeing to it that you get it. But I'm seeing to it that you get it in a way that's more clearly planned, thought out, premeditated. If I give it to you directly, so it may not be as clear that I planned to give it to you. Maybe I was on the way to give it to someone else, and I bumped into you and I felt like socially obligated to hand you something. Whereas if I send out the shaliach, it's more clearly something that was meant for you. It's a more deeply friendly gesture. It's more of a sign of reis. Like writing someone a card. Actually not sending a text or an email. Actually going to the store and buying a card and writing a card and sending it. That it speaks to deeper, more authentic emotion. So there are many nafkaminas, but halacha lamasa, the one that's going to come up the most, that come up for every single one of us, is the original nafkamino. What do you give for Mishloach Manos? You remember the Trumas HaDeshen, that 14th century Rishon, he had raised the shayla of, can I give clothing, a non-food item? Others raised the question, let's say it's food, but it's food which is not ready to eat, and to raise the stakes, it's something that cannot be ready to eat on Purim. Yes, sorry about that, no pun intended. But let's say, thank you, Benny. Magically, suddenly the Zoom works, you're able to speak. But let's say I give you a raw steak a half hour before Shkia, Purim afternoon. So the post can say, look, there's no way, it's theoretically a food item, but there's no way to eat that on Purim. It'll take time to thaw, it'll take time to grill or to cook or to broil. There's no way that it can be edible before Shkia. So according to Shmuel HaDeshen, that according to Rambam, that's not acceptable. Let's take it though a step further. This is very important to Halacha Masa. The Rambam, when he talks about Mishloach Manos, so he says, we saw last week, he gives three examples. Shnei Manos Shel Basar, two portions of meat, or shnei minei tavshil, two types of cooked food, or shnei minei ochlin, two types of food in general. So how do you understand that? Sounds like he's giving, obviously it's b'chal masai mana, meaning that meat is probably tavshil, and meat and tavshil are certainly both ochlin. So why didn't he just say shnei minei ochlin? Presumably he's giving a sense of priority. He's giving a pecking order, a hierarchy. Ideal would be to give shnei mana shel basar. If you're not going to give flesh, at least give shnei minei tavshil, two types of cooked foods. If you're not going to give cooked food, at least give food of some sort. Shnei minei ochlin, raw food. If you're not going to give, you're not going to give a package of pastrami and a tray of London broil, so at least give kugel and chalent. At least give a quiche. If you're not going to give that, so at least give pickles and carrots. Ma pesha advar. So presumably, again, going back to basics, the Rambam is very clearly says that Mishloach Manos is an extension of Seudas Purim, and I'm providing you with Seuda food. So what is Seuda food? So the official menu for the Seuda is Basar V'yayin, as Rambam says, Basar V'yayin as well as other food. So that's why the item number one, the best option, is to give shtei manos shel basar, to give basar. The Rambam does not talk about giving yayin, even though that's also on the official recipe, the official menu, rather, for the Seuda. And that's probably because there's a gemara that in the Mishloach Manos sugya, you saw it the other day, at the bottom of Zayin Manav, top of Zayin Rebeis, the gemara tells a story, there are different girsos. But one amora gives to the other amora, and then he says, oh, you're only mekayim this, you weren't mekayim that. So then he gives him something else. Many different girsos. Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa is that he gave him yayin, and he replies, that's only matanos of yayin, it's not mishloach manos. Why is wine not mishloach manos? So Rabbeinu Hananel seems to understand, and it could be the Rambam does as well, that manos means solid food. Liquids, beverages, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel seem to hold, are not manos. That's why the Rambam mentions shtei manos shel basar, but not yayin. But in any case, coming back to the main thread, so basar is ideal because that's the primary suit of food. If not, at least option two is shnei tavshilin. Shnei tavshilin, we see elsewhere in halacha, is a model for a chashev food. Let's say in the context of, it comes up in the context, a negative context, of sudam afsekes. Sudam afsekes, you're not allowed to have shnei tavshilin, because that would make it a suda chashuva. The sudam afsekes is not supposed to be a suda chashuva. That's why typically our practice is to have bread and you have eggs. Eggs is a single tavshil, but you don't have any other cooked food as well, because shnei tavshilin is already a suda chashuva, and the sudam afsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av should not be a suda chashuva. So here, positively, shnei tavshilin is option two. If you're not going to give bas, at least give shnei tavshilin. That's to an extent suda chashuva. If you're not going to give that, so give pickles and carrots. Give shnei minei ochel. So what's important to keep in mind is the following. Shechters want to point out that the examples here are suda food. Al pi pashtas, that's the idea, is to provide someone with something that they could eat at their suda. They're not mechuyev to eat it at their suda. It's sort of like Erev Tavshilin. They don't actually have, you're not mechuyev to eat it on Shabbos. It has to be something that could be eaten on Shabbos. In somewhat similar vein, I have to provide you with the two portions of food that could be a part of your suda. So it makes it difficult to say that giving popcorn and candy and Twizzlers is Mishloach Manos. It's a nice gift. If people appreciate it, some people appreciate it, some people don't. People appreciate it, by all means, it's a nice gift. But it's hard to argue that the Twizzlers and Zazas are suda food. We could declare, let's say, about a dessert, something you could actually serve as a dessert at a suda and give nice cookies or something like that. Give a parva creme brulee. I was talking about creme brulee the other day. I gave a parva creme brulee, soy-based creme brulee. That's something you could be a very classy dessert at the suda. So that's fine. Certainly, if you want to give a roll, you want to give flesh, you want to give eggs, you want to give pickles, you want to give something like that, is the sort of thing that could be a main course or a side at a suda, that would be ideal. Again, you're not mechuyev to give this. Shem Tomer, this is getting expensive. You give 100 people pastrami, that's quite a bill. It's true, but you're not mechuyev to give Mishloach Manos to 100 people. You could give Purim snacks to 100 friends, but give Mishloach Manos to at least one other Jew. at least one other Yehudi should receive your Mishloach Manos. What should I? If you want to be machmir for the Rambam Rei Chananel about specifically solid food as opposed to beverage, Matov Manoim, but I think far more central is to make sure that you're giving two portions of something that could be Seuda foods. You should make sure you're all over Bar Mitzvah, even though you're Samuch Al Shulchan Mishpachtachem. You're part of a family, you're not independently, you don't have your own table at this point in your lives, and you're not self-supporting, but you're still Mechoyev to give Mishloach Manos Al Pi Pashtos. You should make sure to give find at least one friend to whom you're giving two substantial manos. A couple of dollars will be Mekayim the Mitzvah Mishloach Manos Al Mahadrim. Matanos of Yom as well. Al Pi Pashtos, even though you are not yet financially independent, I'll be pashtus, you should be giving matanos of yonim, even though it could be the money is coming from parents, but they're giving you money to spend, so you should give a couple of dollars to matanos of yonim. Matanos of yonim, be pashtus is enough, you're giving enough for two of yonim, and enough that each of you could buy probably a simple meal. You think about bagel and butter and coffee, something like that, maybe a little bit more, bagel and eggs and coffee. So I'll be pashtus to give $10-$15, certainly Mekayim Matanos of Yonim, should be enough for two Evyonim. If you have direct access to Evyonim, you may meet Evyonim over the course of Purim, and you can hand it to them directly. In general, as a matter of course, in terms of the general mitzvah of tzedakah that applies all year long, so you no doubt you're aware that the Rambam writes, Rambam gives the eight levels of being Mekayim Tzedakah, from the least ideal to the most ideal. And one of the very significant factors that makes an act of giving a more ideal fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tzedakah is that it's done in a way that's as pleasant as possible for the recipient. And it's done in a way also where there's where things are being vetted, and you know that people who are receiving tzedakah are people who indeed have, unfortunately, authentic need. So that's why giving money through a gabbai tzedakah, through a kupa, a keren, is a well-run, a well-honestly run, and a one not only of probity, but also an effectively run tzedakah, and looking for needs and make sure that's given out effectively and well, and with honesty, of course. So that's typically the best way to give tzedakah, unless you're in a position to give a very large loan, to really put someone back on their feet. And until you get to that point in your earning trajectory, the ideal way to give tzedakah is to give it through an organization, whether it's through the discretionary account of your shul, whether it's through a freestanding organization, a Tom Chai Shabbos, a Project Ezra, something of that sort, but a well-run, honestly and well-run organization in America and Eretz Yisrael that takes care of aniyim. So that's the mitzvah of tzedakah in general. Matanos of yonim in particular, it should be going specifically to aniyim, not to other causes, although they may be very worthy. Matanos of yonim is specifically to avyonim and specifically to be given out on Purim. So you should make sure to give at least $10-$15 to some keren or another, whether it's a local or bank discretionary account that will be giving out tanim, or whether it's a tzedakah organization that will make sure to give out tanim. The tzedakah organizations operate in Eretz Yisrael, like Od Yosef Chai and Yad Eliezer and others, they tend to offer the following feature for Purim, which is, we mentioned before, the Mishloach Manos is a shayla, you know, if Ben Yudal is giving to Ben Tezvav or vice versa, so which... You know, which day should the Matanos of Mishloach Manos be given? Yudal Tezvav. Matanos of Yonim, there's a somewhat parallel shaila in terms of time zones. If the giver is in New York, New Jersey, the recipient is in Eretz Yisrael. So in which time zone should it be the day of Purim? We assume that the mitzvah was applied dafka during the day. Sudas Purim, Mishloach Manos, Matanos of Yonim, Megillah is both day and night. So if they're going to give them a talis, if they're going to distribute them a talis to Evyonim in the morning of Purim, to Evyonim in Eretz Yisrael, Here in America, it's not yet day, it's still nighttime. So many of the tzedakas in Eretz Yisrael that run things well will give out the American Matanos Avyonim in the afternoon. So that way it's already morning, it's already daytime in America, the location of the giver, and it's still daytime, it's still before Shkia, the location of the recipient. So that's why you go to the Chaldeus, it's Yom HaPurim for both the Nosein and the Makabel. But it is important, as I said before, everyone should make sure you're certainly over Bar Mitzvah, even before Bar Mitzvah, perhaps, as there's a Chinuch. So you're over Bar Mitzvah, you're Mechuyev to give Mishloach Manos on Purim. Mechuyev to give Matan Zevin on Purim. You should make sure to take care of that. Take care of it properly and well. Take care of it properly and well. One more point about Matan Zevyonim. You can give the money to the Keren in advance. You can give the money to the Tzedakah organization in advance, because they're acting as your Shaliach. So the act of Matanos Avyonim is when the Gabbai Tzedakah hands it to the Avyon, that's the Maisa, so to speak. That's the Maisa Matanos Avyonim. That Maisa is happening on Purim. You're authorizing them in advance on Purim. You're funding them and authorizing them, asking them to give Tzedakah on your behalf. That's the meaning of Shlichus. The actual Matana to the Avyon is when the Gabbai Tzedakah act on your behalf, hands it to the Avyon on Purim. So it's a fine to write the check, or to give the online donation in advance of Purim. There is a mitzvah of Sudas Purim. Let's talk about the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, Lamasa Lahalacha. There is a mitzvah, we said before. It's a mitzvah like every Simchas, every mitzvah, every Yom Tov has a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, which is expressed in part, Chetzel Hashem veChetzel Lachem. The physical aspect of Simchas Yom Tov is expressed in large part through Seudos. We assume generally that means basar v'yayin as well as lechem. The Gemara says actually in the Chanukah sugyas that you have to wash for Yom Tov Seudah. Why does it come up with the Chanukah sugyas? Because we're towards the end of the Chanukah sugyas. I think it's Chavdal Amar Alf, maybe it's Chavgim Amar Alf, I believe it's Chavdal Amar Alf, Zecha Shabbos. The Gemara talks about going back if I left something out in Benchim. I left that Ritzayal, Yavah, Anisim. How does that work? So the rule the Gemara has is you only have to go back and repeat in order to chapar and retain the Av Yavo if you were mechuyev to wash. So Shabbos you're mechuyev to wash. You can't just eat food. Yantif, you're mechuyev to wash for Sudas Yantif. So if you left that retain the Av Yavo and then you realize after benching is over, you have to go back. You have to repeat the benching. Whereas Chol Moed, the Gemara says Chol Moed Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast, but you're not mechuyev to wash. So even if I chose to wash, and now I'm benching, mechuyev to Yal V'Yavo, if I left at Yal V'Yavo, I don't have to be chozer. And so the Tosas raised the issue over the Machlokas Rishonim about whether or not one is mechuyev to wash for Suda Shlishas. Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not one is mechuyev to wash for Suda Shlishas. So we assume that one should, unless you're mamish. It's the middle of the winter, you're super stuffed, you ate a very late morning suda is mamish no room. It says Shulchan Aruch, Chachamein at Barosho, make sure to pace yourself so that you'll have room. You don't have to have a lot for shalshinus, but have some challah. Wash and have some challah. So ideally one should make sure to wash for shalshinus. However, since there is a machlokas, baliatosis, whether I'm mechuyev to wash, so even if I did wash, I'm benching, a Levite would say, so since some bayatosis say I'm not mechuyev to wash, that would mean they would hold I'm not mechuyev to be chozer if I left that ritzei. So since it's a safek, we'd have to be chozer, we say that safek brachas lahakal, you don't go back for ritzei by suda shlishis. Purim al pipashis, you are mechuyev to have bread. It is al pipashis, a full sudas yantif, unlike Chanukah, which we discussed Chanukah time, whether there's a mitzvah, a positive bekum v'aseh mitzvah of simchas big machlokas. Rambam says yes. Chaver says no. Rambam says maybe. Maybe it could be a sudas mitzvah if you have shir shvishus bachas. Purim is clearly a sudas mitzvah. Yeah, sudas Purim is clearly a sudas mitzvah. Alpi pashtas, you require washing, and you require basar v'yayin. Do we require basar? Do we require yayin? So that we dealt with at greater length yesterday's shiur. Yesterday we had a chance to go through more thoroughly the whole sugya of of Adol Yada. Let's now talk about that Lamaisa, Adol Yada, and other aspects of Surah's Perm Halacha Lamaisa. To briefly recap what we saw at much greater length yesterday, there is a big machlokas that we showed him. Loosely speaking, a three-way machlokas that we showed him how to read the Gemara of Adol Yada. The Gemara says it's the idea of drinking a significant amount of wine. In the context of Surah's Purim, Adol Yada and Arham Baruch Mordechai, which the Rambam translates Achi Yishtaker V'Yardim B'Shechuzo, to be drunk. As we saw, the Rif and the Rambam, the Chor of the Rambam also, Aruch HaShulchan notwithstanding, the Chor of the Rif and the Rambam undertake that Gemara Kipshuto. On the other extreme, Rabbeinu Ephraim, of the Rif Talmidim, says that the story of Karab Shachta Rabbi Zeira is a rejection of the memory of Chai Vishnu Masume. And Rabbeinu Ephraim's position is quoted Lahalacha by many, many Rishonim. The Baal Mor quotes him, the Rivav on the side of the Rif quotes him, Baal Mor's nephew, the Ran quotes him, Lahalacha and the Ran, the Rif, quotes him as well in the Chedush HaRan. And the Meiri quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim. It is very, very clear that that is how he paskins. Because after so yesterday he goes on to explain what he thinks Adol Yada means. He says, but it's anyways not halacha lamaisa, because as I explained to you before, we don't accept Adol Yada. We accept Rabbeinu Ephraim. And then there's the middle positions, the various flavors of middle positions, moderate positions. You have the Tosis and the Rush, whose position is clarified by the Meiri. They quote the Yerushalmi that Arham of Baruch Mordechai is part of the longer piyut that we say at the end of Shoshanas Yaakov. And the idea, Tosin and Rosh both mentioned that Yerushalmi in the context of Adol Yada. The Meiri says what that means is that Adol Yada and Arham of Baruch Mordechai, mind your way. Adol Yada and Arham Baruch Mordechai doesn't mean, as the Rambam said, Ad Shishtaker, they run the Mishichrusa. No, it means I'm not able to go through the whole Shoshanas Yaakov by heart without getting confused between the Arham Baruch Mordechai, Ruzeresh, Bruch Esther, so on and so forth. That's one moderate position. Another moderate position, Hagolas Mayim Mishen the Rav Yah, that it's limits for Nalakim. If you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. And then you have the position of the Aruch HaChaim, one of the Rishon of Provence, whom the Rambam quotes, that not that Shishtaker, but Yishta Yosef Limudu, to have a little more than I would typically have. And we saw Allah Halacha, the Mechaber quotes the Rif, while the Ramah quotes the Aruch HaChaim. So I'll be passionate, certainly for Ashkenazim at the very least, that seems to be the Psak. The Psak is the Alpi Pashtas, the Psak is the middle position, not to be drunk, but to drink, to have Yosrim Limudo, a fellow who has a half a glass of wine with dinner sometimes, or has a half a glass of wine at Suda Shabbos, Kiddush. So you have a glass of wine, glass and a half. Someone has more, a little more Yosrim Limudo. Someone never has. So then any amount is Yosrim Limudo. The poskim that we all follow, the whole Zelt follows, on everything else, the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, is very, very clear. The Poskach Hayadam, he said, if a Jew, as a result of drinking a Purim, is not going to be able to daven Meiriv afterwards in a proper fashion, if a Jew is not going to be able to bench B'Chavana, the Allah Nisim, Asudas Purim, one of the ultimate expressions of Hodah and Purim, one of the central aspects of all Purim. A Jew is not going to be able to bench well in an elevated fashion, mamish, with not only saying the words properly, but with clear and sharp kavana. Chaim says there's nothing to talk about. Of course you shouldn't drink. If it's going to get in the way of a myra, it's going to get in the way of an alanisim, of a benching. Chas Sham, the Shabur quotes this. The Mishabur also quotes the Meiri, who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chazal never Chas V'Shalom wanted us to be involved in a simcha of holiness, a simcha of debased, to lower ourselves to the greater sense, Chas V'Shalom. That's what you see in Chumash, the stories of over-drinking in Chumash Bereishis. of Noach, of Lot. Those are pictures of what we don't want to be. It goes without saying, that if my Seuda, if a Jew's Seuda is not going to stay in his stomach as a result of drinking in Purim, it goes without saying that he should not be drinking in that way in Purim. Let me give you a picture of what ought to be. What ought to be. They tell about Rav Kook. I don't know if this was every Purim, but one particular Purim, that there was a Jew who saw the following, Talmidim saw the following. He had Sudas Purim. They said he was dressed, his Purim costume, at least that Purim, he was dressed in a kafiyah, head to toe. He said by the end of the Suda, he was dancing on the table, not for hours. A few minutes before Shkia, he hops off the table, puts his head down. The Rama says, if you want to cover your bases, so you show Serosim in the Budo, and then you take a nap, and that way you're Mekayim even a little bit of the Rambam. Adlayada, because you're asleep. Mitoch Shiyashin, and Yodeh, and Arahama Baruch Mar. The cook was dancing on the table, and then right before Shkia comes down, it was Mahadrin on all angles, puts his head down for a few minutes. Before Shkia, he made sure to kind of Ram as well. He got up and he davened, and he learned with a clear mind the entire night until Vasika. That's the way to sort of Suez Purim to look like. The Suez Purim to look like. Salach al Maisa, as I mentioned, I think in general you would recommend the position of the Ramah. I mean, the Ramah recommends in general the position of the Aruch Chaim, unless there are countervailing factors. If a person can't handle wine, a person is worried that a little bit may overabide. So then Rov Rishonim seem to embrace the position of Eidu Ephraim. Anyhow, the Balamar, the Rivav, the Ran, the Meiri, I would say at your age, as I said, I mentioned yesterday, I think what's ideal is to have a conversation with parents. And if your parents are comfortable with it, you should drink moderately at the Suda together with your family, together with your parents. If they're not comfortable with it, so then you should follow Rabbeinu Ephraim. And I would say, if you find Rabbeinu Ephraim, this is all a chelik of Sudas Purim. That's a key point, as I mentioned yesterday. Even the Rambam, who's the greatest proponent of drinking, makes it very, very clear that this is not stomach, the new fifth mitzvah of Purim. This is a chelik of Sudas Purim. Rambam seems to say in general, Sudas Purim is more than a typical Sudas Yantiv in all dimensions. More basar and more yain and more food in general, and even mishloach manos, it expands to more tables as well. So that's the idea. Even the Fida Rambam, it's not anything but wine, and it's not at any point but at the Suda. It's not Purim night, it's not Purim day. It's yain, basar, yain, bam, sasuda. It's meant to be an element of the Suda Purim. So if for whatever reason, because of parental concern or because of one's personal hesitation about drinking, either from a health perspective, or you're worried it'll be too much. So then, if you follow Ben or Ephraim, so I would say, good, so then be mahadir, have more basar, have more food. It's all the chelik of the Sudas Purim. So you figure out a way to have an incredibly happy, incredibly holy, sublime, a Purim of great Kedusha, a Purim in general of great Kedusha, particularly a Sudas Purim of great Kedusha. One more thing about the halachas of Sudas Purim. When you will have your own tables, when you'll have your own families, you'll be shtelling Sudas Purim in your own home. So here's the following is easy, following point is easy to be careful with, and that is Zmanim. As I mentioned before, the four mitzvahs of Purim are all meant to be fulfilled on the day of Purim. We lay Megillah at night as well as during the day. And the Mishloach Malchus tells us that Sudas Purim are all supposed to be during the day. During the day means ideally after Hanetzach Hama and before Shkia. Once it gets dark, tomorrow night, once it gets dark, it's already Shushan Purim. It's no longer Purim. So if you're not in Yerushalayim or some other city keeping Tezvav, then Shushan Purim comes and the mitzvahs of Purim cease. Rambam seems to indicate that Shushan Purim is a day of Purim. Bach even thinks you say Al Nisim on Shushan Purim as well as Purim. We don't follow that. But that's like, for instance, you know, you have 7 days of Pesach, but the mitzvah of Matzah, the mitzvah of Karm Pesach, the mitzvah of Seder is only the first day of Pesach, specifically the first night of Pesach. But the rest of Yom Tov, still the Yom Tov, the mitzvah Hayom only apply one segment of the Yom Tov. The night of Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, but Shofar is only by Yom. The same is true of the mitzvahs of Purim. The night of Purim is Purim. The mitzvahs don't apply. It could be, to a certain extent, Shushan Purim is also Purim, but the mitzvahs don't apply. So it's important to have Sudas Purim, to give Mishal HaManos, Matalos HaVyonim, and Sudas Purim by Yom, before Shkia. Some are even machmer to bench before Shkia. At the very least, certainly it's ideal to have the bulk of your Su'udah, or Rova Su'udah, on Purim, or at the very least to wash and have a little bit of meat while it's still Purim before Shkia. As I mentioned before, Richard, when you'll be at the stage of your life that you have your own table, you have your own family, your own table, in your own home, you're making Suas Purim, you're inviting others over, so you can schedule it. When you're at the point in your life when you're figuring out with your Rebbetzin what time you're starting Suas Purim. So you can start Suas Purim several hours before. You'll have the Rova Suda. You have the Rova Suda on Purim. You can pour a Suda in the morning, Suda in the afternoon, whatever works best for the family. But you can time it so that you'll have the Rova Suda at least while it's Purim before Shkia. At this stage in your life, you're at your parents' table, you're at guest at some other family table. You're not in a position to impose what the timing should be. So chachamayna barosho. You may be able to quietly wash and have some flesh at the Suda before Shkia, even if everyone else is only starting after Shkia. That may or may not, you have to look at the situation and know, is that a polite thing to do or not? If you're worried about the Zmanim, you want to be Nizer as every Jew ought to be, about both Ben Adam Lamakar and Ben Adam Lachavero. If you're worried that the Suda may, the time of the Suda may be difficult, and it may not be polite to start washing on your own and having some flesh on your own, we're not starting yet, what are you doing? So then, Chacham and Barosho, you can have a quiet suit at home in the morning. You come back from Megillah before you, after you had, you deliver some Shalach Manas. So have a fleshig breakfast, wash for breakfast, have a fleshig breakfast, and you have an early Sudas Purim. And then, whatever the time works over the course of the rest of the day, the post can talk about this notion, the maker, the only Mukhif, that one Suda. It was actually common, it sounds like, in Eastern Europe, to have more than one Sudas Purim. They would have a Suda in the morning, a Suda in the afternoon. The Aruch HaShulchan actually raises this. Even if the Zmanim don't work out so well for the afternoon Suda, don't worry. We already had our morning Suda. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Tav Rishchariyeh, you're going to get a slice of history, what the cuisine was like. He tells you what food they were serving in the morning, what food they were serving in the afternoon. It was some type of special bread called kitke. Maybe some of your babas can tell you what kitke is. Sometimes special bread that they only served by the afternoon Suda. The Aruch HaShulchan said, okay, even though we don't serve the kitke in the morning, we have other special Purim Dikah foods, and you're washing in the morning, even if it's not in the kitke, but other plain bread, you're having flesh, having other nice foods in the morning. He says, don't worry, you had your Suda's Purim in the morning. And so that's the Eitzah Yehudsa, as with so many things, to finesse the situation. Advanced planning and advanced thought about how you can be mahader in both Ben Amal HaChaveru and Ben Amal HaMakom is typically the best way to go. So if you know that the timing may be an issue, so you don't have to give anyone a hard time, you don't have to make anyone uncomfortable, you could quietly in the morning have a wash and have a fleshik suda, fleshik breakfast, enjoy, sing, you have your suda, bench, say Al Nisan, still Purim, Mahadrin, and then however the time plays out. Again, for some of you, the family timing tomorrow afternoon may work very well, because you are planning to start the Suda several hours before Shkia. But if that's not the case, if it's not the plan, or you're concerned that the plan may not come to fruition, So I think this is the best way, the best way to set yourself up, to set yourself up for success. Okay, so we discussed the three mitzvahs, halacha l'maisa, mishloach manos, matanos avyonim, and sudas purim. We'll end this segment with the following deher, and then we'll take a brief break, and then we'll come back. We'll come back for some more. In this morning's slichos, something worth noticing, the slichos were written by great paitanim from the period of the Rishonim or earlier. If you look in the slichos, there's often a lot. The poetry is very rich. The poetry is very, very rich. Sometimes inscrutable. Rich, yet inscrutable. Sometimes it's hard to understand exactly what's being said because the language is so dense. It's very, very beautiful. And sometimes you at least notice a little bit. It gives insight into whatever the day is. The Tainus, the Slichas for Tainus Esther. The second Slicha, excuse me, the first Slicha, Adam Bakuma Lane, it's a long one. A lot going on. You mentioned in the middle, it must be based on the Medrash, that the Eliyahu Navi went to Shmar Samachpela, he woke up the time of the Tzara, the time of the Gzeira of Haman Achashverosh. Eliyahu Navi went to the Mar Samachpela, he woke up the Avos. They see that he woke up, he woke up Moshe Ben also perhaps. They should daven, Nachas L'Roev, Malacha Nirdam, he got them to daven. One interesting point. Another interesting point is when it talks about Mordechai gathering the Jews to daven, this is a reference to Shaul in this past week's Haftarah, the Haftarah of Shabbat Zachar. From Sefer Shmuel, he says, he gathers them all to daven, Sha'al lifnoi meko atzon hazeh ba'oznoi. The Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, ah, the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, but there's a reference there to Makal Tzon Asher Baznai is Shmuel subtly biting question to Shaul, why do I hear all these sheep? You were supposed to have eliminated the Amalekim and all of their property. It sounds as though perhaps the Slicha is saying that the kibbutz letfila that Mordechai organized was a tikkun in some sense for the chet of his great-great-grandfather Shaul. The gathering the Tzon Kadashim, gathering Klal Yisrael to produce a proper kol, a kol called Yaakov, fighting against Yedayim with the Esau, which is also referenced in the Slicha, that was perhaps in some sense a tikkun for Shaul having left over the Tzon of the Amalekim inappropriately. And finally, I would close with this, which brings us back to the mitzvahs we were talking about. V'atichtov Esther Tokef, Lekroki v'halel mahodim. We discussed the three mitzvahs of the three mitzvos masios of Purim. Mishloach manos, matanos avyonim, and sudas Purim. We'll come back in a few minutes to talk about a little bit of Minhag Megillah and perhaps some other aspects of Purim. We'll talk a little bit about Tainus Esther as well. One of the issues in Minhag Megillah is the machlokes about halal. One of the things we don't say on Purim is halal. Or maybe we do. We just touched on this last week. It's really machlokes in the Gemara, in Erechin, and Megillah, whether we don't say halal on Purim because it was a Yeshua but not a Geula, either it happened in Chutzaretz or because it did not result in Jewish sovereignty, unlike Chanukah, which did occur in Eretz Yisrael, and did result in Jewish sovereignty, which incidentally is also the case for Yom HaTzmaut, the Nisim of 48 and 67, which did occur in Eretz Yisrael, and did result in Jewish sovereignty and expansion of Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Purim did not have those. The other approach is the approach of Rabbi Amor Rav Nachman, and that we do say halal, but the halal of Purim is Kriyasa Zuhi HaLeila. The halal of Purim is a Mikra Megillah, rather than the typical halal, perhaps because the Nesu of Purim was a Nisim Nistarim rather than Nisim Gluyim, so the response is not what we call Hallel, which Chazal referred to as Hallel HaMitzri, which speaks explicitly in B'tzeis Yisrael about opening miracles, but instead the Hallel of Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is the appropriate, unique Hallel for Nisan Nistar. The Rambam mentions that, paskins that way, and in the Slich we paskin that way as well. Interesting. Tichtov Esther Tokev. Esther wrote down the Tokev, which is how the Megillah refers to itself. They wrote Eskol Tokev. Lekro Kiva Hallel Mehodim. To read as though we were being modeh with Hallel. So the Yepaiten seems to assume like as the Rambam does, like Rav Nachman, that Kriyasa Zuhi Halela, that this is the Mikra Megillah, in addition to being a pure Simanes, it's also a form of Shabbat. It's also a form of Hodah, as the Paitan points out. The Mikra Megillah is very, very rich. Very, very rich mitzvah. So let's take a break now for a couple minutes, and we'll come back to continue discussing the Purim. Thank you.